Thank you, Don. Thank you, worship team. We really appreciate you leading us in song each week, the excellent job that you do. Thank you so much. Let's join together now and pray and invite God's Spirit to speak to us today. Let us pray. Father, as we do explore the journey, the race, running the Christian race with dedication and faithfulness, may you encourage our hearts today. May you remind us that ultimately the race is won. When we keep our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. May you encourage us on this day to continue to persevere with faith and with devotion to you, that you would be glorified in our church and glorified in each of our lives. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Well, speaking of races, one of the longest races in the world is the Australian Ultra Marathon. The Australian Ultra Marathon is a 573-mile race. It's a foot race from the city of Sydney to the city of Melbourne. This race takes many days to run, and professional runners come from all over the world to compete. Back in 1983, something unusual happened at the Australian Ultra Marathon. Shortly before the race began, a 61-year-old sheep herder named Cliff Young walked up to the registration table and asked for a number to enter the race. The people at the registration table thought this was a joke because Cliff Young was wearing overalls and rain boots. They started to laugh, but Cliff insisted that he wanted to run. So they pinned a number to his overalls and let him enter the race. At the start line, all these athletic-looking professional runners looked at Cliff like he was crazy. Spectators who had gathered to watch the start of the race laughed hysterically at this 61-year-old man who was about to run a 500-mile marathon in overalls and rain boots. They laughed even more when the starting gun went off and Cliff stumbled out far behind all the other runners. 5 days, 14 hours, and 4 minutes later, Cliff Young shuffled across the finish line. He had won the race. He had won the race, and not by a few minutes or by a few seconds. The second place runner was 9 hours and 56 minutes behind. This was so unbelievable, Cliff Young became an instant legend in Australia. How could a 61-year-old man in boots and overalls win a race? He won the race because no one told him that when you run in the ultra marathon, you run for about 18 hours a day and then you stop and get 6 hours of sleep before continuing on the next morning. Cliff Young didn't know this, so he ran the entire race without sleeping. He endured 5 days and 14 hours of straight running and survived on water and pumpkin seeds. You know, it's a true story. It sounds unbelievable, but you can look it up. And when Scripture describes living a life of Christian faith, it uses a number of different metaphors. And one of those metaphors comes from the book of Hebrews, where a life of faith is described as a long-distance race. By using the illustration of a long-distance race, the writer of Hebrews is telling us that following Christ is not a quick and easy road. It is a journey that involves struggle, difficulty, and endurance. Today we begin a short, very short, two-part series called Running the Race of Faith. This morning I'm going to set up this series by looking at an important but often forgotten biblical truth. Following Christ is not a quick sprint, it is a marathon. Like running a marathon, following Jesus involves discipline, struggle, perseverance, and fixing our eyes on the finish line. Next Sunday morning, we're going to explore the life of King Josiah. Josiah was an Old Testament king who demonstrated what it means to run the race of faith with dedication and faithfulness. Today, let's explore what it means to follow Christ while I still have a voice, what it means to follow Christ over the long haul. How do we live out our faith in a world where there are far too many distractions and in a world where Christian beliefs and values are often marginalized? Please join with me as I read Hebrews 12, just three verses, verses 1 to 3. Hebrews 12, verses 1 to 3. These verses tell us, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, thank you, the author and perfecter of our faith, thank you so much, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. When the author of Hebrews chose the analogy of a long-distance race, I believe he was trying to teach us something about being a disciple of Christ. He uses the metaphor of a race to give us a picture of what is involved in a life of faith. From the metaphor of a long-distance race, we can derive three things about living our faith with dedication and commitment. First, following Christ and living a life of faith involves perseverance. Now, in some places today, the gospel is presented as a road to a happier and more successful life. I once heard someone say that the gospel is often presented as Jesus plus the American dream. In other words, you can have Jesus, prosperity, and everything else your heart desires, and it won't cost you anything in terms of commitment and sacrifice. But this is not the picture we find in Scripture. The New Testament tells us that following Christ is not an easy path. It is a narrow road. In Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14, Jesus said, "Enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." The narrow road represents the path of following Jesus. And Jesus made it clear that this is not an easy road to take. Before we choose to follow Jesus, we should count the cost of discipleship. John chapter 6 tells us that many of Christ's followers eventually turned away from him because his teaching was too hard for them to accept. There is victory when we cross the finish line and enter heaven, but between now and then, we shouldn't be surprised when we encounter times of struggle. Here in Hebrews 12, verse 2 tells us to run the race of faith with perseverance. And it's interesting that the English word race comes from the Greek word agona. The word agona sounds like the word agony. Agony is a fitting description of a long-distance race, isn't it? And when I was in high school, I won't tell you how many years ago that was, I was part of the long-distance running team. And when you run in a long-distance competition, after a while, your legs start to feel kind of rubbery, and your lungs begin to burn. By the time you get to the finish line, or get close to the finish line, it's agony, and you need to struggle to make it to the end. As you run the race, there are moments when you feel like giving up. So the author of Hebrews is telling us that we shouldn't expect following Christ to be an easy road. We are engaged in a spiritual battle with Satan and with his forces of evil. We battle our sinful habits and we battle against temptation. There may be times in life when we're going to struggle with doubt, struggle with fear, and unanswered questions that bother us. But there's good news in all of this. The good news is that God has equipped us with everything we need to successfully run and finish the race of faith. He has given us His Spirit, and the Spirit of God empowers us and enables us to overcome the obstacles we face. He has given us His Word. His Word brings us hope, encouragement, and correction. He has promised to be with us through the journey, and He has promised that He will never, ever let you go. Well, there was once a billionaire who lived in Texas. The man owned around 400,000 acres of prime land, on which he had several thousand head of cattle, dozens of productive oil wells, and a beautiful 30-room mansion, complete with an Olympic-sized swimming pool. He also had a beautiful daughter who was 25 years of age. The father decided that the time had come for his daughter to be married, so he decided to find a suitable candidate to be her husband. He sent out hundreds of invitations to potential candidates and invited them to come to his ranch for a party. The day of the party arrived, and about 100 young men from the surrounding area turned up for the event. Later that evening, the father led the men out to the swimming pool. He said, "I have filled my swimming pool with alligators. The first man who is courageous enough and strong enough to swim the length of this pool filled with hungry alligators will be given two choices. You can have $10 million in cash, or you can have the hand of my beautiful daughter in marriage. And keep in mind, she is my only child, and the man who marries her will inherit my entire estate one day." Well, as soon as the billionaire finished talking, there was a huge splash in the water, followed quickly by a young guy getting out of the water at the other end of the pool. He had just set a world record for the fastest swim ever. As he was regaining his breath, the billionaire approached him and congratulated him. "Son," the billionaire said, "that was amazing. Now, what is your choice? Would you like $10 million in cash?" "No, sir," said the young guy. "Well," said the billionaire, "I assume that you would like my beautiful daughter's hand in marriage." The young guy said, "Sir, no, I don't want that either." The billionaire said, "Well, then, what on earth do you want?" The young man said, "I want to know the name of the guy who pushed me into the pool." You know, throughout the journey of faith, there will be obstacles for us to overcome. They probably won't come in the form of alligators, but they may come in the form of discouragement or struggles with sin or temptation. Or perhaps it will be family members or friends who oppose our beliefs. Whatever obstacles you face, remember Philippians 1:6, where God has promised that He will complete the good work that He has begun in you. And this leads us to a second point about following Christ. Following Christ and living a life of faith involves progress. The key word in the Christian faith is not perfection. The key word is progress. None of us will ever reach perfection this side of heaven, but we should be making progress when it comes to spiritual maturity. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, Paul told Timothy to be diligent about his faith so that people could see his spiritual progress. Every race has a start line, and every race has a finish line. And a runner needs to make progress toward the goal. The same is true in the race of faith. Are you making progress? Can you point to areas of your life where you have seen growth in your faith and where you have seen positive changes in your character? These are questions we need to periodically ask ourselves as we run the race of faith. Am I making progress? Do I see God doing a work in my character and changing who I am? This leads me to a third point about following Christ. Following Jesus involves running in the right direction. The word Christian actually comes from a New Testament Greek word, Christianos, which literally means follower of Christ. So when we use the term follower of Christ, it's a synonym for Christian. And a Christian is someone who strives with the help of the Holy Spirit to follow the teaching and example of Jesus. Going to church, being a nice person, those are good things, but they don't make anyone a follower of Christ. To believe in Christ involves a willingness to follow the direction Jesus has set out for us. It involves a willingness to submit to the authority of Christ. Near the end of his life, the Apostle Paul wrote these words in 2 Timothy 4:7. He said, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." You see, Paul knew that following Christ was not a sprint. It's like a marathon that involves peaks and valleys, struggle, progress, and following Jesus in the path that he has set for us. Keeping this in mind, there's a key point behind these verses in Hebrews 12. At the end of verse 1, the author tells us to run the race with perseverance, which I've touched on. But the question is, how do we persevere in this race of faith? There are times, as I said, when we might feel like giving up because there is struggle, there is doubt. So how do we successfully finish the race? This is a practical application of today's message, and I want to leave you with three things to think about. Number one, to persevere in the Christian faith, I need the encouragement of others. At the beginning of verse 1, it says that we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. And some people believe this is a reference to our loved ones who have gone on to heaven, and now they are watching us. I don't believe this is the meaning of verse 1. Verse 1 is linked to the previous chapter, where it lists the Old Testament heroes of the faith. So verse 1 is telling us to be inspired, to be encouraged by the faithful believers who have gone on before us, who have already run the race of faith. So when you feel discouraged, when you feel like giving up, when you feel like no one cares, look to the example of those who have persevered in their faith. You might look to the example of someone in Scripture, or you might look to the example of someone you know personally. The point is, we cannot live out our faith in isolation. We need to be encouraged by others, and we also need to be encouraging one another through our words and our example. Second, to successfully finish the race, we must set aside the things that weigh us down. At the end of verse 1, we are told to throw off everything that hinders us and the sin which so easily entangles us. You can't run a well, unless you're Cliff Young in Australia, you can't run a race very well if you're weighed down with baggage. We need to prayerfully identify the sins and baggage that impede us, that impede our progress in the race of faith. And maybe you're here today and you're weighed down by anger or bitterness. Maybe you're weighed down by a lot of doubts. You're not sure what you really believe. Maybe you're weighed down by fears of various kinds. Maybe you're simply discouraged. Whatever it is that weighs us down, we need to recognize and acknowledge these things that hinder us from the joy and peace God wants us to know. So if you find yourself struggling, pray about that area of struggle and ask God to help you deal with it. And if necessary, I encourage you, get some support from someone you trust to help you process and deal with the things that are weighing you down and causing you to struggle. A few years back in the Summer Olympics, an athlete named Matt Emmons was competing in the 50-meter rifle event. The event involved shooting a .22-caliber rifle at a target within a certain time limit. Matt Emmons was one shot away from winning the gold medal. All he actually needed to do with his final shot was hit the target, anywhere on the target. He didn't need a bullseye. He didn't even have to come close to a bullseye because he was already in first place and he was so far ahead of his competition. He just had to hit the target and the gold medal was his. It was a shot he had easily made thousands of times before. So Emmons pointed his rifle and fired. He made a good shot, but he fired at the wrong target. He was standing in lane 2, where he was supposed to be, but he fired at the target in lane 3. Firing at the wrong target meant that he was disqualified. Instead of winning a gold medal, Emmons ended up in last place. Putting his focus in the wrong place cost him dearly. And this is my last point today. To finish the race of faith, we need to fix our eyes on Jesus. Verse 2 tells us to fix our eyes on Jesus. He is the author and perfecter of our faith. The goal of our faith is to know, follow, and glorify Jesus. The race of faith is all about Him. It's not about me, it's not about you, it's all about Him. If we keep our eyes on ourselves and our own problems, we'll be discouraged. If we keep our eyes on others, people will eventually disappoint us. Sometimes people focus on all kinds of diversions. They might become overly focused or obsessed about signs of the end times, or they're focused on all kinds of side issues that relate to our faith. But our focus shouldn't be there. Our focus needs to be on Christ. I believe that Satan loves to make Christians focus on minor issues because this creates problems in our churches and it keeps us from fulfilling the Great Commission and making disciples. To successfully run the race of faith, keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Him because He will never leave you and He will never, ever let you go. He is faithful. And He will always be faithful to do what He has promised to do. Let us pray. Father, as we've explored a few moments today, what it means to run the race of faith, we thank You that we don't run the race of faith alone. You have equipped us with Your Holy Spirit. You have equipped us with the Word of God, which reveals Your ways to us, which reveals Your character to us, which provides us with many, many promises that we can cling to as we journey through life and as we seek to live a life of faith and a life of commitment to Christ. Father, I would just pray for any who are here this morning and running the race of faith for them right now is a struggle. It means struggle with doubt or with disappointment. It means struggle with fears. It is a struggle right now just to believe. May You be with them. May You provide and send encouragement their way. May You provide them with someone they can talk to as they struggle, remind them that they are not dealing or running the race of faith alone. You are with them, and there are others who are here to support them. Father, thank You that You have put us within the family of God, and we are here to encourage one another, to spur one another on toward love and good deeds. We thank You for the body of Christ and for Your love. In Jesus' name. Amen.